Do you think it would be helpful to kind of give some examples of alternative approaches besides science that can be used to effectively challenge beliefs? I mean, we can take the belief in God if we want to carry on down that road.
Mm.
But actually kind of how would we begin to then employ philosophical or other methods that aren't necessarily strictly scientific to begin to challenge those kind of concepts?
Yeah, there is a lot you can do from the comfort of your armchair. And in fact, we've already looked at an example of how you might raise an armchair objection to belief in God. Maybe from the comfort of your armchair, you can know there's no God, because the very idea of God as an agent that has beliefs and desires, an intelligent being designed and created the universe, the very idea of such a being that is a non-temporal being that creates the temporal universe doesn't make any sense. If it doesn't make any sense, then we can rule out that God in the same way that we can rule out a round square residing in the jungles of Peru. You know it's not there. You can know that from the comfort of your armchair just by having a think about it. So maybe we can do that for God. We could rule out God in that non-science. I take it that's not science, what I'm doing now. It's because it's armchair work. It's non-empirical. Having said that, though, when I talked to Richard Dawkins about this issue, he expanded the notion of science to include all rational thought, basically. And so what I just did there, running an argument against God from the comfort of my armchair without doing any empirical work at all, he counts that as science. So if you have a sufficiently sort of elastic concept of science that includes all of maths and logical reasoning and all of that, you know, the whole thing, all rational inquiry, then, yeah, okay, so maybe scientism begins to look a bit more plausible. But that's not normally how people understand science. I mean, my understanding, I would normally understand science as involving an application of the scientific method or something like it. So it's a comparatively recent discovery, science, about 500 years old or something like that. And since we produced science, we have seen huge leaps in our understanding of the world around us. It's an amazing tool, science, the scientific method. But I do think that there are questions that science, that kind of methodology, can't answer. In philosophy, I think, maybe I'll just stop there, but if you wanted another example, I could give you a philosophical example.
I mean, sure, if you've got one ready, why not?
Okay, well, one thing you can... one thing you might be able to do, I think that the mind-body problem is an armchair conceptual problem. I don't think it's a scientific problem. The philosophical puzzle of how you get this private phenomenal world of conscious experience in all its technicolor glory, how you get this from the activity of that walnut-shaped lump of matter between my ears. I mean, how does that work? How is that even possible? I think that on the face of it, it's a conceptual problem. It's like trying to build numbers out of Lego or something. It's the wrong kind of stuff. You're never going to get consciousness by gluing bits of matter together. There seems to be something about consciousness that means that it's going to be in principle impossible ever to give an account of how a purely material object could give rise to it, or material system could give rise to it. And then there are various attempts to sharpen that armchair intuition up into an armchair argument. So Descartes got a couple of arguments, and then there are arguments about, you know, Mary and the black and white room and so on. If you're not familiar with that, there's Mary is raised in a black and white environment from birth, never experiences color, but learns everything there is to know about human beings and what goes on inside them when they have color experiences. So she fully understands all of the facts, has full knowledge of all of the physical facts so far as color perception is concerned. But then she's shown a red object and now she learns something new, what it's like to experience red. And this is a new fact that she's now become aware of, the what it's likeness, that she didn't had access to previously. So there are then more facts than just the physical facts, and no account of the what it's likeness of conscious experience is ever going to be possible if you focus only on what's available to science, those external physical facts. So there are those kind of arguments. And it seems to me that what we seem to have there is a kind of conceptual obstacle to minds being brains, but it may be that there isn't really a conceptual obstacle at all. It's just the illusion of one. And I suspect actually that's true. But it seems to me that if you want to solve the mind-body problem, you need to do conceptual armchair work. It's not a scientific problem. An interesting scientific problem is how you build a machine that's capable of interacting with its environment exactly like a human being and saying the kind of things that a human being does. I mean, that's a technical challenge. Science can do that. Maybe you can solve how to do that. But the philosophical puzzle of how you build technicolor phenomenology out of, you know, the what it's likeness out of pure physical goings on, that puzzle, I think, is a conceptual puzzle, and it will require a conceptual solution if indeed it can be solved.
If you enjoyed this clip, then head on over to Locals to access the full conversation right now. Supporters can access the video version, and everyone can access the audio-only version of the conversation. I'll see you over there. Thank you.